Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Oh, hey, gang. I didn't notice you there. I was just sitting here downloading the CoCertified app onto my new phone. CoCertified. Wow, what an app. Only $1.99. Who would guess you'd get so much value out of $1.99? You never have to eat kosher food again if you don't want to. Today's Monday. Hey, I see Mark Collette. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick. How are you on this fine, sunny day?
I don't know about fine or sunny in my part of the world. My dog, Mr. T, is here. He doesn't feel like engineering the show today because there's a chance of thunder. And engineers don't like thunder. You know that, don't you? I guess something with the electricity and all that equipment. No, I'm doing fine. Actually, I was just got done listening to your latest video on Europeans being written out of their own history. And I mean, there's stuff going on in the Middle East that we have to get to, but while it's fresh in my mind, you said that a country or a people with no history is a people with no future. Or maybe you said they're taking away our history so they can take away our future. I'll let you say it the way you said it, but it was very well said. I'll say that much. I don't know if it's original to you or not.
I'm sure people have said things similar to that, so I'm not going to come on and, I mean, I did, everything I produce is original to me. If it's a quote, I will, you know, attribute it, but I'm sure, you know, someone will have said something similar to that. But I said, A people without a past or a people without a future. The nearest I can remember hearing to that was in a computer game called Red Alert, where the antagonist, a man called Kane, travels back into the past to do a deal with Joseph Stalin, who then invades Europe, and it rewrites the history of the Second World War. And he said, "Those who control the past control the future." That's what that was his motto. So that's the closest I can remember. But
I guess those who control the past control the future. That might be from Orwell, maybe from 1984.
It might be, but that's just where I remember it from, because I remember playing those games as a child, and I just remember his speech, and it was something that kind of obviously stuck with me, and you know, something similar obviously turned up in my podcast this week, and it's been a good one. It's been seen by over 10,000 people already. It's been very popular, and I'm sure, despite it being seen by over 10,000 people, I'm sure that's still with YouTube strangling it. I must say that I'm sure if any other normal video had been growing at that rate and getting that amount of positive to negative ratio of reception, that would be on every recommended list on YouTube.
Yeah, and we can talk about it, although really everybody needs to go see it. Wait till after the show, but go see it. This is a subject that is very powerful for video, because you're talking about all... You're talking primarily about the BBC, the state broadcaster, and all of these productions, their historical productions, where they're casting Africans as queens of England. And then you see the picture of the actor, Africans as Sir Galahad or Lancelot, which one?
Sir Lancelot. I said that it's not just historical. You see, the BBC have always been quick to cast those of African descent or those who are not of European descent in roles, in historical roles. So we've, and it's not just the BBC, we've seen blacks portraying Julius Caesar, we've been seeing, the BBC had a black woman portraying Margaret, Queen of England, but it's not just our history, it's also our folklore and our mythology. And that includes Sir Lancelot, you know, the portly Friar Tuck from Robin Hood, who was, you know, the fat religious man who had a penchant for ale and food. He was transformed into a black martial arts expert. And that is just how absolutely ridiculous this is. That's how much they'll twist these things. And some of it's more overt, some of it's more subtle. But one of the most worrying occurrences of this was in a historical piece called The Story of Britain. Now, The Story of Britain was a cartoon aimed at children, and The Story of Britain firmly planted different ethnicities in every part of British history. We had black Norman priests, we had African Iron Age blacksmiths. We had entire Roman legions that were Negroes. We had, you know, it just goes on and on. We even had Celts in facial war paint, and one of them was black. That's how absolutely ludicrous it was. And we might laugh at these things. We might find it hilarious. I mean, I find it just comical that they would have a black Celt with, you know, Celtic war paint across his face. But the fact is, it's not actually funny when you think that's aimed at children. And children will pick up on that. And if somebody says, well, actually, the Celts are a tribe who are indigenous to the British Isles, they are white, they came from parts of Ireland, they migrated over to Scotland, but they were indigenous to our isle. And these kids will look at you and say, they weren't. Some of them were black. And you'll be like, what? And that will have slipped in. They will actually take that as being a fact. And this is the problem. The problem we have now is that all of these children watching this will subconsciously or consciously register what they think is a fact, because these are being displayed as historical pieces, and they have woven different people of color into every part of British history, into every level of British history. Even English noblemen at the signing of the Magna Carta were of all different racial groups. It doesn't look like the signing of the Magna Carta. It looks like the meeting of the UN. It's absolutely absurd. And this is an insidious attack on our people, which is aimed at dispossessing us of our history and giving those who have no claim to our ancestral lands what they think is a valid claim to our soil.
Mm. You know, you mentioned in the video that, what was it, a production of Aida, the opera Aida by Verdi. Giuseppe Verdi was it canceled or held up because they had too many white people portraying Ethiopians? And the thing about opera is that it's cast by voice. It's not cast by appearance. And I guess the same way with ballet is cast by dancing rather than by appearance. And I've seen Jessie Norman, who's a kind of an enormous black woman, and she did the lead in a production of Carmen maybe 20, 30 years ago. And that was fine because she had the voice for it. Now, she was enormous, and she didn't look anything like a young gypsy princess. But, you know, neither do in opera, you're used to seeing obese menopausal women playing young, attractive teenagers. When you go into opera, you go in with the intent of suspending disbelief. So that's one thing with opera. But movies, casting in movies is supposed to hinge very largely on appearance. You want somebody to look a certain way. Typically, you'd want them to look something like the character they're portraying. unless you have an ulterior motive. But here we're seeing it's just pure ulterior motive, isn't it?
Well, I think the first and most important thing to note about what you were saying there is that we actually have a serious double standard here, because when a white person, somebody of European descent, is cast to play somebody of Egyptian or Ethiopian descent, as they were in Ada, there is an absolute public outcry, and there's this cry of cultural appropriation, and this is one of the left's new terms. It's cultural appropriation if white people portray those people of colour. But this goes further than just white people playing non-white characters. We saw recently an attractive young white girl went to her prom, and she chose to wear a dress that was styled in a oriental manner. It was an oriental styled
Chinese dress. I don't know if it's really indigenous to China, but it's popularized by Chinese women.
She looked very nice, and she wasn't doing anything disrespectful in it. I mean, she can do what she wants in it. She bought the dress. But the fact is, she purchased a dress which, as you said, was popularized by Chinese women and you would normally associate with Orientals. And she wore this to her prom, and there was absolute outcry on social networks, calls of cultural appropriation. People asked her to apologize for wearing this dress to the prom. It was absolutely ridiculous, the level of outcry about this dress. Now, can you imagine if we stopped black people in the street who were wearing three-piece suits, or black people who are wearing maybe a Scottish kilt, or, you know, some other form of clothing that had been popularized by white people or invented by, you know, those of European descent? There would be absolute uproar. If you followed a black man down the street who was wearing a three-piece suit shouting at him over cultural appropriation, can you imagine what you'd be carted off, you'd be put in jail, you would be prosecuted under the hate crime laws. There'd be an absolute outcry. But this is the problem we have. We have an issue now where we're being written out of our own history, where our historical figures, pivotal historical figures in white European history, people like Julius Caesar, Margaret, Queen of England, they are being portrayed by non-white characters. And on a much more sort of subtle level, all of the characters in the background are now being slowly multiculturalized. So, as I said, you're seeing black Celts, black Norman priests. You know, the meeting of the English noblemen doesn't look like a meeting of English noblemen. It looks like a meeting of the UN. It's ridiculous. But if any of this goes even slightly in the other direction, it's cultural appropriation, and all the media outlets play up to it. You know, they say that they've not started using the term as heavily themselves, but they say, if this has opened up a debate, there should be no debate. If you want to wear a dress, you can wear the dress. But the fact is, tens of thousands of people protested on social media. It made the news, and this girl was essentially shamed for wearing this dress. Whilst at the same time, when I point out that we're literally being written out of our own history, I have people abusing me on Twitter, people mocking me, and people saying I'm reading into something where there isn't an issue. And there is an issue, because this is all part of the plan for white genocide. It's all part of the plot to allow this replacement migration and to allow white European people to be replaced, because sooner or later, white Europeans will look at themselves and say, we're not the rightful inheritors of this land. This isn't our inheritance. This isn't our land. You know, this was always multicultural. Well, it wasn't. And once you spread that insidious lie, you are essentially working towards dispossessing the people who you are lying to of their inheritance, their homeland, and an illustrious history that spreads back for tens of thousands of years.
If, okay, so Two thoughts. One thought is that what you're seeing with the casting in these historical dramas is a perfect reflection of what's actually happening to the people of European descent around the world in terms of getting to have their own societies. So in these historical programs on the BBC, and of course throughout Hollywood as well, we're being written out of history, just like we're being written out of our own societies, where we're told, no, it's not your society, it's for everyone. And then the other thought is that, the culture, our culture is everybody's culture, just like our land is everybody's land. Yet if we were to move to another land, then it's colonialism, or if it's another neighborhood in the United States, then it's our gentrification, and it's all evil. And if we portray, if we wear an Asian dress, and I wonder how many Asians were really protesting that. It was probably mostly Jews who were protesting it. But there are a lot of Asians who are getting brainwashed in America, and this is really, really problematic, because Asians in North America, with the vast majority of them, only came here within the past few decades, and for them to turn against the host population that allowed them in is the height of ingratuity. I think they could go either way. They could wind up going either way. They could go anti-white, or they could side with the whites. But for those to take up this anti-white narrative and try to shame whites for cultural appropriation is really inexcusable. I've got some kind of rants. I'm just going to kick it back to you without a question. Sorry.
No, that's okay. Well, I suggest everyone, if you've got the time, go over to my YouTube channel, watch it. You know, it's not just me speaking for, you know, quarter of an hour. It's me talking, and there's annotations, there's all the pictures on the screen. It's all clearly labeled. You can see it. And I don't produce these pieces. I produce many different pieces for different reasons. But this one particularly is one that's very easy to share with your friends and family. It's very illustrative. It's all there for you to see. There's all the evidence in front of you. It's not something that really can be debated or argued with, because it's clearly laid out. And I produce pieces like that so they can be shared, so that they can be used as a tool to wake people up, to red pill people, to get people thinking about what's really going on. Because it's very important that normal people who are coming into our movement have videos which are of an educational sort of nature that they can share amongst their friends and family. Because it's all well and good. You see plenty of clickbait videos on YouTube, stuff like, watch me go to a feminist rally in a crash helmet and tell them that not all men are evil. And, you know, that can be entertaining from time to time. But we are reaching a very crucial point in this battle to save our civilization, and we need to wake people up. And part of waking people up is educating them. When people begin to stir from their slumber and wake up to the issues facing the West, we need to be able to educate these people rapidly in short, sharp, succinct bursts that are full of information, full of facts, easy to digest, and easily annotated. So it's visual, it's emotional, and it's punchy. And that's what I produce these things for, to produce almost an online library of short educational pieces that people can share with their friends and family. So please, if you like listening to this show, if you agree with what's been said today, feel free to hop on over to my YouTube channel and share that with your friends and family. Share it on Facebook, on Twitter, and help get the message out. Because this is something that is extremely important. And you will be seeing this not just from the media, and I focused quite heavily on the media in this piece, I focused on the BBC. I focused on other productions abroad. I talked about, I begin the actual piece talking about Joan of Arc, because since 1430, Orleans in France has held a parade in her honor. And for those years,
just got about 10 seconds, but we're going to continue this conversation on the other side with Joan of Arc.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction. There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
National Bugle Radio with Patrick Slattery and Mark Collette, and culturally appropriated North Korean revolutionary music. So, Mark, you were talking about Joan of Arc, and don't tell me she's black now.
Well, that's the thing. Since 1430, the city of Orleans has held a parade in her honor. Now, she was obviously the person, for people who don't know, Joan of Arc is essentially a national icon in France. She's a hero to the French people, because during the Hundred Years' War, the French looked virtually beaten, and Orleans had been under heavy siege. Joan of Arc arrived, and she led the French forces to victory.
As a teenage girl,
a teenage peasant girl who was deeply religious, she led the French forces to victory at the Siege of Orleans. And this was absolutely pivotal. This was the turning point in the Hundred Years' War that led to the French fight back, and eventually the French defeated the English and drove them out of France.
Joan of Arc.
Joan of Arc was captured by the English and her and their French collaborators, or those from, I think it was Burgundy, who were actually helping the English. And she was tortured and she was killed as a heretic.
The cheeky monkeys.
The cheeky monkeys, us English, yes. And she was killed, and she became, later, she was made a martyr by the Catholic Church, and she became one of the 9 secondary patron saints of France. So she is integral to French history, and is probably, if you said who are France's national heroes, she would probably be most people's choice. And for the first time since those parades began, Joan of Arc was represented not by someone who was ethnically French, but by someone whose father was African and whose mother was Polish. So really, she had very little, if any, claim to being French. Neither of her parents were French. Her father was African, so she certainly wasn't ethnically French. But this just goes to show how they're changing our history and our traditions in a very, very forceful and overt way a lot of the time. And in this case, to take France's national hero and take that, you know, fair-skinned, rosy-cheeked, strawberry-blonde peasant girl and transform her into a mixed-race girl to appease the multiculturalists and push this idea that France is not the country of the French. There's no such thing as the ethnic French people, but it is always multicultural. It always has been. And now Joan of Arc, their savior, their hero, their national icon, is not even ethnically French. This shows how far they're pushing it. But this is all explained in my video. And I think that when all the evidence is laid bare, well, it's not all the evidence. I mean, I could have been there hours if I'd have listed literally every role that had been handed to somebody who wasn't European. And remember, this isn't just history. They also do this with folklore. They do this with mythology. And they do it with a whole host.
Achilles, the hero of the Trojan War.
Yeah, Achilles, the hero of the Trojan War. And they do it with a host of other characters that were just white, or written as white in books, or written as white in comics, and then they become black. And I talked about that in my video on Beauty and the Beast. I talked about that in my video on Spider-Man Homecoming. And I've often made these videos that have compared how the characters were originally portrayed, or how they're originally written and devised by their creators, and how they're portrayed now. I mean, one very notable issue of this was in the latest Fantastic Four film. Now, in the Fantastic Four, there are 4 main protagonists, obviously, because it's the Fantastic Four, and 2 of those protagonists are brother and sister. There's Johnny Storm and Sue Storm, and Johnny Storm's the Human Torch and Sue Storm's the Invisible Woman. And essentially, they have, as their brother and sister, they've both always been white. They've always been portrayed as white. But in the latest Fantastic Four film, Sue remained white, whereas Johnny Storm was black. So all of a sudden, this brother and sister, presumably of the same parents, were now brother and sister to different parents. You know, presumably the mother had had 2 different men, one of whom was white, one of whom was black, and she'd had 1 white child and 1 mixed race child. Now, again, this might seem small. Well, they're only fictional characters. Well, can you imagine if Hollywood took a black fictional character, like, say, Shaft, and made him white, if they took the character of Shaft and cast...
He's one bad mother... Shut your mouth! But I'm talking about Shaft. Right on.
I mean, which white actor could play Shaft? I don't know. But if they did, if they cast a white actor as Shaft, there would be absolute outcry. And I'd understand that. I'd understand that. Recently, they did that with a Stephen King book called The Dark Tower. The Dark Tower is a much-beloved series. And the main protagonist, who is a white cowboy, was cast as Idris Elba.
Well, we will be back with more National Radio after the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech. Quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Those are the Smooch Sounds. Gilbert Applebag, completely 100% not culturally appropriated or copyright violated. It is completely fine for us to be playing that. So let's switch gears here a little bit, Mark. The U.S. Embassy in Israel was just officially moved. I believe today marks the moving date. Now, of course, I'm in North America. We're several hours, maybe what, 8 hours behind Israel or something on in terms of time zones. So these events, the ceremonies have taken place, and Ivanka Trump, the Shiksa princess, the daughter of our president, is over there with her husband, Orthodox Jew, and they're kind of representing the United States in these ceremonies, redesignating the consulate office in Jerusalem, upgrading it to an embassy. And of course, they were over there. They're members of the Chabad Lubavitch movement, and they were over there also being blessed by the chief Sephardic rabbi, Yitzhak Yusuf. He is the son of another controversial rabbi. But this rabbi recently referred to black people as monkeys, and he's made all sorts of statements that a European or a white American could never get away with. But he's okay because he's Israeli. And likewise, the Palestinians who have been protesting from inside the fence in their little walled-off ghetto of Gaza, they're protesting inside their own fence, and they're being shot down by Israeli snipers. 52 have died already. There's been well over 2,000 wounded just today. This is how the Israelis celebrate their 70th anniversary. They were, I guess it was 70 years ago today that President Truman recognized Israel as a state. And so this is considered their Independence Day. It's also considered the day of tragedy by Palestinians. So there's a lot of symbolism there. And of course, there's this massive double standard where if a white girl in Utah wears a Chinese dress to her prom, there is massive outrage on social media. Yet, you know, Israelis can go and Israeli snipers can shoot down 52 Palestinians who are demonstrating on their side of a fence in their own open air prison. Do you think there's going to be the same level of outrage?
I don't think there is. I think we've seen from Israel some of the most horrific war crimes that we've seen from any nation. Israel have repeatedly used banned weaponry like white phosphorus. They have repeatedly targeted hospitals, schools. They have targeted civilians. They have shot at unarmed protesters. And there was the most sickening occurrence a few years ago where they opened fire on children playing football on a beach. And that was written off just as, oh well, that's collateral damage. Now, we have invaded nations, I'm talking about the British, obviously the Americans too, on the say-so that there have been weapons of mass destruction, that there have been dictators, that there have been regimes that have treated people with a lack of human rights. Well, if there was any justice in this world, these weapons inspectors would be going to Israel, because Israel is a rogue nuclear state. Israel uses weapons like white phosphorus, which would be deemed as weapons of mass destruction that are illegal under international law. And there are no sanctions. There are no great rebukes from the international community. They might get a slap on the wrist every now and again from the UN, but it never comes to anything because America always uses their veto to ensure that there would never be any sanctions or any serious sanctions against Israel. And we here have a state which is essentially a law unto itself. And when I say a law unto itself, I don't just mean in the way it treats its own people, but in the way it strikes out unilaterally without any sort of issues from the foreign international community at other nations, the way it repeatedly destabilizes nations that surround it. But on top of all of that, It is the only nation in the Middle East that stockpiles what our leaders have termed weapons of mass destruction. And when you take all of that into account, and then you see the disgusting fawning that President Trump is doing over Israel, that many of these neocons and conservatives are doing over the state of Israel, it's absolutely sickening. If any other nation in the Middle East did but 10% of what Israel does, the international community would be, well, clamoring for a foreign invasion. It's absolutely shocking. And when you see people being shot for simply protesting, for unarmed people being shot for protesting, you absolutely know that the people doing that are tyrannical. They are essentially murderers. But you've got the President of America, Donald Trump, fawning all over them, the press fawning all over them. And if you go and read any of the comment sections on these websites where these things are being reported, you will see dozens, if not hundreds or thousands, of brainwashed sort of conservatives saying Israel is America's greatest ally. Well, people say Israel is America's only ally in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. Well, that's mainly because by allying themselves, by America allying itself with Israel, they have alienated themselves from every other nation in the Middle East. Essentially, if you remember at school, sometimes a school bully would have a very small, annoying friend. Mm-hmm. And that small, annoying friend would go around picking fights in the playground with the sense of immunity that he had a large, tough bully as a friend. And that's pretty much the situation that Israel's in. Israel runs around the Middle East doing as it wishes, upsetting who it wishes, knowing that it has complete immunity amongst the international community because the American government, Congress, the Senate, and the American media is controlled by people who have Israel's well-being at the center of their hearts.
Mm. And if you remember that situation from grade school, yeah, that bully in that kind of situation, the bully was always basically mentally retarded. I mean, it would be large, probably had been held back for 2 or 3 years, so he was much more than everyone else, but he was held back because he was extremely stupid. And this little kid had the bully wrapped around his finger for one reason or another. So basically, the United States has become really nothing more than Israel's large, retarded, bully friend. And I want to emphasize retarded. And I know people don't like that word, but we have become completely retarded. And you look at the people in Congress who are always praising Israel, and we know why they praise Israel. They praise Israel because if they don't praise Israel, then they're going to have a very well-funded challenger in the next primary or in the next general election. Otherwise, especially for the House of Representatives, it's usually a cakewalk to be reelected. It's usually very, very easy. They do it for that. But unfortunately, in some areas, you also have an electorate that has been poisoned with this Christian Zionism. And they feel that America will be blessed by, whatever it is for Israel, by cucking for Israel. That's somehow that's God's plan for Earth, is to have a chosen people and then other people who just vie for blessings by cucking for Israel. And is there a better term for that than retarded? I'm sorry, I don't know. And I apologize to actual retarded people out there for any insult that they may feel by being compared to Zio America.
Well, I find it absolutely absurd, as you say, when you see these sort of white Christians cooking for Israel, when you see these white Christians lining up, you know, with their little Israeli flags, claiming almost, they're almost claiming that the Jews are the chosen people, that the Jews actually are, you know, God's chosen people, yet they're Christians. They're Christians. Now, Jesus rejected the Jewish faith. Jesus rejected that, and he moved to oppose that. And that's the reason the Jews called for him to be killed. The Jews had the choice of choosing Jesus or Barabbas. One of the two had to go on the cross. And rather than choosing Barabbas the murderer, they chose Jesus, the man who had thrown the moneylenders out of the temple. Mm. And it's very interesting that these Christian Zionists, as they call themselves, haven't actually read the Bible or have a very scant understanding of the Bible and of what Jesus was trying to do. And I find these people to be a little bit of a conundrum. It's almost as if they are literally the most cucked people on the planet.
Mm. And yeah.
I was just going to say that just a bizarre mentality for one religion or one religious group to place another religious group on a higher level than themselves as more important. You know, for a group of people, if a group of Muslims were walking down the street saying, you know, we're Muslims, but the Hindus are the chosen people, I'd be like, that's a bit odd, isn't it? You know, that's a little bit strange. That's odd that you would follow one God, but then decide that people following another God were actually the chosen people. Because really, that goes against all the teachings of Christ.
And what we know or can be reasonably confident of through not just through biblical sources, but other contemporary historical documents and through linguistic and archaeological and genetic research is that at the time of Jesus, he had a very large following. We know, I mean, we assume that from the Bible. He seems to have had a very, very large following, and that following was both Hebrew and Greek, which was, you know, the term for non-Hebrew. You know, the letters were written to various new churches. So he had a very large following among both Hebrews and Greeks. From linguistic and now increasingly genetic research, we know that the Ashkenazi Jews, who are the dominant Jewish population in Europe and especially in North America, that they, on their maternal line, descend from a very, very small number of Middle Eastern women, and also they descend from European women. So the number of Jews who would have gone into exile in Europe was very, very small. It was only the elite that was leaving, mostly men. They brought a very small number of women with them, and then when they got to where they were going, at least in Europe, they took some local women. And so what this means is the bulk of the Hebrew people from the Bible did not go into exile after 72 AD when Emperor Titus destroyed the temple. They remained, converted, became Christians. I mean, it wasn't a conversion process. It wasn't a conversion process for, you know, the first couple of hundred years. It wasn't a clean break between Christianity and Judaism. But they became Christians along with all of these non-Hebrews around. And so the descendants of the Hebrews of the Bible, well, yeah, Ashkenazis and Sephardim, these other Jews would be among their descendants, but the bulk of the descendants would be like the Assyrians of Syria in the Middle East, who still speak the Aramaic language of Jesus. They still speak this language. These many Palestinian Christians, would certainly be the descendants of the Hebrews of the Bible. And yet somehow you've got these Christian Zionists who are all for exterminating and genociding these people who are actually the main descendants of the Hebrews of the Old Testament who actually followed Jesus. And the ones who rejected Jesus are the ones that they're aligning with.
Well, that's a very, very good point. And something else that we must always talk about with these Christian Zionists is they have wholeheartedly supported the Israeli state's attacks on the Syrian regime. They have supported the attacks on President Assad. Now, President Assad is very, very popular amongst the Christian community in Syria, because he is actually a secular ruler. He is someone that has actually allowed religious minorities to flourish. He has led a government that has not persecuted Christians in the region. Yet Israel is bombing Assad, depleting his forces, and instead they are arming and aiding and abetting ISIS and al-Nusra Front, al-Nusra Front being al-Qaeda's proxy in the region. And these two groups would slaughter every Christian in the region if they could. And it seems very, very curious to me anyway that these so-called Christian Zionists would happily see other Christians slaughtered at the behest of Israel.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have? Do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to culturally appropriated National Bugle Radio. I appropriated that Hava Nagila song. You know why? Because it's a good tune. That's why. Well, Mark, so it's, I don't know how we're going to follow up on that last segment where we're talking about the Christian Zionists and the Jesus stuff. But here we are. There's so much going on now, and we only have a couple more minutes, but how are you feeling? You're over there in Britain. You got this walking zombie corpse, Theresa May, as your prime minister, kind of a poster child for, I guess, for decomposition before death or something. I mean, she's so horrid looking.
She is foul. She is foul.
How's your general mood? How are you feeling? Are you feeling hopeful? Do you see lots of signs, or how are you reading things?
Well, that's a very difficult question, really, and it's probably a little bit too much for me to answer in one go, because unfortunately I'm not seeing a lot of hope, because sadly I see so many people saying, well, I've got to vote Conservative because if I don't, Labour might get in, and I'm sort of grabbing my head and shrieking, Theresa May is passing laws that are going to allow the courts to give you 6 years in jail for sharing posts on social networks that aren't politically correct, and you're talking about it might be worse under Labour. So what are we saying here? Are we saying that, well, Labour might give us 8 years, so we better vote Tory because 6 years in jail is preferable? Well, that's the most cucked response I've ever heard. You know, we're at this point now where our liberties are being taken away, our freedoms are being taken away, we have no freedom of speech, we are being monitored by the government, what we say online, the police are threatening people on social networks, and at the same time, we have a war on our streets where teenagers are being stabbed, where there's a machete attack every 90 minutes, where there are acid attacks, where there's grooming, and the police are overlooking that to chase down people who shared things on social networks. Yet the public are still coming out with nonsense like, you know what, could be worse, could have Labour in. But how's that going to be much worse? You know, how could it get any worse than what I'm talking about now? I don't know. I honestly don't know, Patrick. I don't think it can get worse than what we're facing now. It's getting to the point where we have to think about actually having a full-on political rebellion and just throwing out these two main parties, because anyone who is still naive enough to think that either of those parties are going to do anything right by the indigenous population, they're very much mistaken.
Yeah, we're going to have to think about that. You have a two-party system with an asterisk in Britain. We've got our two-party system here. You've at least got some regional parties. We've got these tiny little third parties that that play a role in politics but never win elections. We've got to do something, and we're going to hash that out over the coming weeks. Well, a way forward. We're not just going to complain about what's going on, but we're going to hash out a direction. Are you with me on that, Mark Collette?
I certainly am, and I will see you on Wednesday, then again on Friday, and I'll be back here on Monday. Thanks for an excellent show, and have a great week.
On No White Guilt's podcast, the weekly live stream on the No White Guilt channel on YouTube. And I will be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio with Patrick Little, the candidate from California.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation Our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
This is RB.